I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
When the red, red Robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along, along, there'll be no more sobbing when he starts robbing his home. Sweet song, wake up, wake up, you sleepy head, get up. Get up, get out of bed, cheer up, the sun is red. Live, love, love and be happy. What if I be blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along.
Run of form continues as Accrington milk us dry at the Valley. Welcome to Charlton Live. So good evening and welcome to Charlton Live on your Sunday evening. My name is Louis Mendes and joining me on the pod this week to look back at yet another defeat, 2-0 reverse against Accrington Stanley at the Valley on Friday night. Extends our run of bad form. Joining me to look at it first up, got Mr. Tom Wallion. How you doing, Tom?
Yeah, not bad, mate. How are you?
Yeah, not bad. I had a couple of days to calm down at least, so hope you didn't ruin your weekend too much.
Well, it didn't until I remembered I was coming on here and then I had to think about it again. But until about 10 minutes ago, I was having a good weekend.
Yeah, see, it's always good to get the defeat out of the way on the Friday night. Then you can have all the Saturday and most of Sunday just to think about yourself. And then you have to come on Charlton Live and live it through again, as does Mark Newbury. How you doing, Mark?
I'm all right, mate. I'm a touch more positive, I think. I mean, I've watched the game, and I as a sadist in me, I rewatched another like 40 minutes of it again just to sort of like make sure I was thinking the same thing. So I'm all right.
Yeah, definitely. We'll beat that out of you soon enough. Don't worry, Mark. So on tonight's on tonight's game, we'll be hearing the brief highlights of the match. We'll also hear a post-match interview with Ali Bowyer, who was absolutely fuming with his side's performance. Of course, we've got plenty of tweets and emails to come in to read to discuss as well. Plenty of talking points on tonight's show as we extend our difficult run. Two wins now. In 10 games, I think it was only one clean sheet in 12, I think it is. It's not a good run of form. And, you know, Accrington Stanley are having a good season. Don't forget that. But they are, you know, Accrington Stanley and we're Charlton Athletic. You almost subconsciously think it's just going to be a walk in the park. But I think anyone who did think that would have had a rude awakening on Saturday. So then on Friday evening, I should say. So, Tom, just before we hear the highlights, probably an even game until the first goal. But once again, we've sort of shot ourselves in the foot, and then Accrington have gone on and doubled it. In the second half, we got into some good areas but didn't really create many chances. And I think Accrington will come away from that, you know, once again thinking, well, they've taken theirs, they were clinical, and probably look the more cohesive unit throughout the game.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I'll let Mark do most of the positive talking, but what I will say is I thought Accrington were a lot better than Hull. I thought our performance against Accrington was better than our performance against Hull. I think Hull's the worst I've seen us this season. So they were perhaps positives. I think aside from that, I wasn't clinging to much. That first half, as you said, we were fairly even. We did get in good positions and create a few chances. But as we've said, and I think I even said on Thursday's show, that end of the pitch largely hasn't been the problem. Obviously, we didn't score against Hull. But before that, I think we'd obviously scored the five against Wimbledon and two in the three or four games around that as well. So two each game, I should say. So we were scoring pretty well. It's the defensive side that has just completely fallen apart. And how this is the same side that kept six clean sheets, I don't know. Well, I do. I suspect it's because the two key men that were part of that are missing. But people like Jason Pearce, you know, experienced player, you can't be making mistakes like that at any level. And Accrington came to the Valley. They were up for the fight. They were fresh from a few weeks off and played a very good game and were absolutely deserved winners. But from a Charlton perspective, just bitterly disappointing and worrying now, I think, from my perspective. I'm starting to just get a little bit concerned about where this run is going.
Yeah, that is a word I'd use, Mark. Certainly worrying and concerning because, you know, the goals have started to dry up now as well, which is something we hadn't seen before. Mistakes are still there, which we've seen a lot, unfortunately, throughout this run. And, you know, we're stuck in a rut and these ruts can be quite hard to get out of.
They can, but, you know, we're seventh. You know, we're not 21st, we're not 22nd, 23rd, 24th, we're 7th. We've lost the games we had in hand on the teams above us, but we're still, you know, within a good sniffing distance of the playoffs. It is about turning it round. And, you know, like Tom rightly says, you know, it does become worrying. But then you look at it and you think to yourself, logically, we're 7th. I'd understand a bit more doom and gloom. I know we haven't won for X amount of games, and we do see, you know, the chopping and changing doesn't help in any way, shape or form. But I think there were positives. I thought Jake was, well, for me, he was our player of the match. I mean, look, don't get me wrong. Stanley deserved to win it because they took the battle to us and, you know, they did the right things. Obviously, their manager saw where we were the weakest and played on it. They made the Valley very large, so they could spread it, and we just couldn't cope through the midfield. But I think there were certain signs. Second half, you know, Tom says about first. I think second half, Chucks made a difference. You know, he wasn't bullied off the ball as Washington was. I felt a bit sorry for Washington. I thought it was a bit lonely. But I thought the second half, I think there were green shoots there. And I think once you get that balance and you know, right, you know, if we get Schwartz fit and he starts poking him in, and then I think there's enough green shoots not to be doom and gloom.
Excellent stuff. Well, let's have a listen back to the highlights of the game on Friday night. Your commentators on Valley Pass Live, as always, were Greg Stubley and Terry Smith.
Out here to Martin. Miller goes for the run down the line. He's got a little bit of space to turn into. Corner of the penalty area. Attacking the penalty area on his right foot. Takes a shot. Oh, saved away. And Charlton, the first real shot in anger that Baxter's had to deal with. And it's come from new man Miller.
Miller. Who controls? He's got two to his left, one of them being Morgan, and he finds Morgan. Crossing opportunity, swings it in, headed up in the air, comes down to Forster Caskey, who controls with his right foot. It's a good save from the goalkeeper, diving to his right. It's a great effort from Jake Forster Caskey on that weaker right foot, really tested the palms of Nathan Baxter.
Now Miller
cuts the side onto his right foot, looks for the cross towards Washington. It's over his head, and easy for Baxter to collect. It's a long kick forward towards Pearce, who heads it back, but Bishop's got over the top. And will Bishop score? Yes, he will. Just a long goal kick. Jason Pearce trying to give it back to Ben Amos, couldn't quite do so. And Bishop, with his pace, just gets ahead of both Pearce and Amos, heads it past Amos, and then converts for an open goal to make it Accrington Stanley 1, Charlton 0.
It was just a long, hopeful ball out, and you thought all day long that Jason Pearce had this covered. As it was launched forward, it was bounced up nicely for him, but he just didn't get enough on it. Or maybe it just hung in the air more than he was expecting. He didn't get enough on it, couldn't find Amos, and Bishop just kept running and flicked it over Amos, and an easy finish.
Short to Morgan. Forward it goes towards Smith. Held up by Burgess. Ball in the penalty area. It's a decent looking one. It comes down towards Gilby. Gilby with the shot. It's saved by Baxter, diving to his left. And possibly didn't get quite the contact he wanted, Gilby, but it's goal bound and it forced the save from Baxter. And there is the half time whistle. As Charlton go into half time, one goal down, courtesy of a Colby Bishop strike, taken quickly by Gunter to Anike, holding off his man. Crossing opportunity and is saved by Baxter. His cross comes shot in the end, looking towards the far post, was cut out by the goalkeeper. To left to Miller. Martson goes on the run behind him, but Miller will find him. Martson, ball into penalty area. It's a shot from Morgan, and Baxter clears away, and as far as Smith. Smith with the shot. It's deflected up in the air and cleared. It was actually a free kick given. Have it now with Pritchard on left-hand side, taking on Gunter. He skipped past him inside the penalty area. Charles with the shot. It's over the ball. Good pressure from Martson. I think he got a touch on it as well. And it will be a corner.
Forster Caskey, but Accrington still have it on the Charlton left-hand side. Again, Forster Caskey getting back and beaverishly working away. And that should have been a foul, surely, as Forster Caskey was robbed and the ball into the box. And Accrington still have it. Another ball into the box. Out here to the edge and Pritchard. Pritchard into the feet of Bishop. And it's an easy finish. But Charlton will be incensed by the fact that there was no decision for Forster Caskey on that left-hand side.
Well, yeah, I did think it was a foul, but I mean, there's a ball in the box after that, till that's not dealt with by Charlton at all well. It's just a simple cross in the end, and it's a nice finish in the end by Bishop. There was a potential foul on Forster Caskey. The play on Oshalaja does well to clear that initial clearance. Martson doesn't get it under control. And it allows McConville to get the ball in the box, and yeah, Oshalaja just mistimes his header, and then trying to get back quickly allows as Bishop in the end to cut inside onto his right foot and deliver a strike that Ben Amos couldn't really do a lot about. Again, from a Charlton perspective, it's a goal that's avoidable.
Keep it back towards the Anike, but it's headed clear by Nottingham. And then that's the final moment of the game.
There we go then, the highlights from the defeat against Accrington Stanley on Friday evening. Another tough one to take. Tom, I mean, you said you felt the performance was better than against Hull, and I tend to agree. Like, someone asked me, was this your worst performance of the season? I said no, because we have had chances, and I've seen games where we haven't really done that too much, namely that Hull game last week where we didn't have too many clear-cut chances. So, you know, there is that to cling on to, but, you know, it's still disappointing the way that, you know, these silly mistakes are costing us, and actually the fact that those goals have started to dry up. It will be something that's quite concerning to Lee Bowyer. And then obviously you've got to take into account everything that's then happened in and around and after the game, because I mean, Bow was furious, and we'll hear his reaction and talk a little bit about that as well. But there's a lot of signs of, you know, when you're not taking your chances, when you're making silly errors, and when you've gone only 2 wins in 10 games. I mean, this is what you'd call very much getting stuck in the rut now. That's what it feels like to me. And the longer it goes on, the harder it is to get out of it.
Yeah, you're right. When that goal goes in, as you say, it's a silly mistake and one that Pearce will, I'm sure, hold his hands up for. But at that point in the game, you're thinking, well, do you know what? It's a fluke goal. It's come out of nowhere. It's a stupid one to concede. We have created chances. Let's not panic too much, because at that point, we had created chances. We'd looked okay. But as you say, when you bring it into the context of then conceding another soft goal a bit later on, of losing the match, of everything that happened post-match with the fallout, of the fact that it's come in this run, you put all that together, and that's where the concern comes in for me. And I think although we did create some chances, and although it was only 2-0, I felt even at half time they could have been 3 or 4. You know, there were so many times where they were just dominating the territory. And I think I put something on Twitter about, you know, they were just picking the ball up 30 yards from our goal and just having that ability to turn on the ball and drive forward. And we just couldn't do that. And there are obvious gaps, obviously, with our defensive midfielders in that position. And so there are maybe reasons why it's happening, but that's not good enough. You know, that there are enough good footballers in there to be able to at least close down some of the space. But it was the manner of the performance as it went on and as we conceded that second goal, and the game just started to drift away from us. And I think last Sunday, or whenever it was we played Hull, was it only last week? I said that I could never see us getting back in that game. And at 1-0 down against Accrington, I did see us getting back in. But once that second goal came on, went in, it kind of killed it off. And, you know, Bowyer mentioned it himself, the substitutes not really having a huge effect. Mark mentioned Jake was the only one, you know, to come out with any credit. And I agree. I thought, weirdly, he actually had a very good game, Jake. Really tried to make things happen. But there was just, not enough positives. And when, as I say, when you put it in the context of the run we're on at the moment, it's like, how do you get yourself out of this rut? You know, we've been in places like this before, and it's about just trying to get something. And whether that's Ronnie Schwartz banging one in, or whether that's Liam Miller, you know, curling one in from the edge of the box or something, just to give us that lift and get that one result. And I've said plenty of times this season, I feel like when we click, we will go on a run, because the squad and the players we've got are more than good enough. But it's something you referenced right at the start of the show. They were a better cohesive unit. We look like individual players, and that's the worry, especially when you factor in the comments from Bo after the game and the kind of disjointed nature of, you know, the dressing room. You know, we're looking at it from afar, but it does seem like, you know, cracks are starting to appear in that relationship, perhaps, and that's a worry.
Yeah, it certainly is. One of the things, obviously, that we built our early season or our early season success on when we went on that 6-game winning run and obviously kept all those clean sheets, Mark, was our, you know, solid defensive unit that we've completely lost now. And unfortunately, it was really quite obvious from the first goal that we conceded. It was just a punt upfield from Baxter, the goalkeeper for Accrington, a simple long ball. And obviously, Jason Pearce has misjudged it and headed it straight to the goal scorer, Bishop. And, you know, mistakes like that in a game that had been probably fairly even, you know, that's what you really can't afford to make in these little runs that we're on now.
No, you can't. I mean, Deji obviously looked a little rusty from playing there, but I didn't think he was too bad until he, like, threw himself in front of a ball which wasn't being shot. Pearce, I mean, I look at that header back and just thinking, you know, if Charlie Barker had been running back and done that, we'd all be saying, you know what, he's a kid, he'll learn from that. Pearce hasn't got that excuse. He's the captain, he's supposed to be the leader of that team, and it was just a, you know, I don't know why he just even headed it sort of back over. He knew the runner was with him. Bishop, he knew he was with him. So you make sure, or you just say, knock it up in the air and defend it that way. I mean, the thing is, I slightly disagree with Tom, because I can't remember Amos making sort of like, when they had all that possession, many saves where he had to fly and parry. He was doing catches, a few P-rollers came through to him, and they had some sighters, but nothing where Amos really had to get his shorts dirty. Defensively, I think Martinson, they pushed up on him very quickly. The mistake I think we made is that when we were playing out from the back from a goalkeeper, we just kept playing it short. So they pushed up, because they knew we had no one in midfield who was keeping the ball. So, you know, it ended up just coming back too fast. And across the back, yeah, I said it was sort of like at the start of the season, when we were doing so well, I couldn't see Pearce getting in if Innes and Fatuemo were fit. I couldn't see Pearce getting in. I didn't think he would deserve to get back in because of the way those two were playing. And now I'm thinking, if I have a choice of three fit centre-halves, Pearce can go on the bench. It might sound a bit harsh because, you know, it's just like one mistake, but it's not. I think, you know, we saw him do so well against big physical strikers, but it's against someone who's nippy. They've said, like, get round him. He, you know, he hasn't got much speed. He doesn't turn well. So I'm not surprised they said, right, if we can lump it up and split the centre halves, we can do something. I felt sorry for Amos, really, as he's seen it bounce. There's nothing he could have done apart from sort of like maybe take the guy out and get a red card. But, you know, and then you're looking at being 10 men with a penalty. And so it's tough across that back four, to know who you would have You know, do you go with Matthews, who's a bit more of a raider, or do you go with Gunter, who's... You've got to think, we've got experienced internationals in that team. And yet, you know, if you looked at us yesterday, someone came from another planet and looked at that yesterday, they'd go, no, none of those, any good. So it's hard to say. I don't think anyone from the defence, you know, got any credit yesterday.
It didn't look, you know, great. I mean the second goal, obviously we'll talk about what happened in between after Tom, but the second goal, again, I mean, Deji got the clearance right for the first one, but then as the cross came in the second time, I guess he didn't exactly cover himself in glory for that one. And again, you know, you give him the excuse of it's his first game starting for a while, but is it his first game starting for a while? Because he does have these slightly erratic moments in his locker.
Yeah, I wouldn't say Deji's set the world alight, has he, since signing for us? But you're right, you do have to caveat his performance with the fact that he's had a long spell out. It'll be interesting to see if Boya does persist with him for the next couple of games while Prattley's out, just how he gets on, because he might improve, we don't know. But again, it's just a very sloppy goal to concede. As you say, we had three or four opportunities in the whole passage of play to clear the ball, and we didn't do it successfully. And it was a nice little finish from, I think, Bishop again in the box. But, you know, he sells Deji, an absolute dummy, to send him sliding across the valley, almost back down the tunnel, and just slots it in. And it was another very simple goal from an Accrington perspective to take. And it's just, as I said right at the start of the show, that back four, or I don't just want to blame the back four, because plenty of people pointed out on social media that the midfield weren't exactly covering them a lot, but just our defensive shape and our defensive positioning and our just how we defend is at the moment absolutely woeful. And as I say, this is a team that had kept six clean sheets in a row, that were building, that were pushing their way up the table, and it's all fallen apart. And yes, Famwo and Innes were big losses, but Jason Pearce is a competent player. Deji Oshalaja at this level is a competent player. Darren Prattley is full of experience. Might not be used to playing there, but does. Chris Gunter, obviously with the Welsh connection, but just in terms of a player, is somebody I rate. And I don't think he's covered himself in glory. He made very big errors. Was it against Burton? He made a couple of really bad ones. So all across the kind of defensive half of our game, we just look so sloppy. And if we're not scoring at the other end, like we haven't for the past couple of games, then obviously you're going to lose the game. And as I say, it's just about how we get out from this now. We've obviously got another opportunity very quickly in a couple of days. And whether that's good or bad, I'm not sure. But for me, I think it's a positive just to try and just turn it around as quickly as we can and just get a win to try and stop the rut, basically.
Now, I mean, one of the more concerning things for me that we did on Friday evening is we did seem quite easy to play through, Mark. Like, I think, you know, Accrington at times, you know, it was like our midfield was a little bit non-existent. And that was one of the things that really sort of riled me up, because I think, you know, considering how well we haven't been defended, unfortunately, recently, having a free run at our back line probably doesn't help.
No, it doesn't. And I think you've got to look at the personnel, which was across for four. You know, Miller, a winger. Albie is a good passer of a ball, but likes time. Gilby, good passer of a ball, likes time. And then you had Jake, who was really trying to cover and be sort of like the defensive guy, but to try and drive us forward. So we ended up doing everything. It's funny, I think one of the players, if we'd had him here and he wasn't out on loan at Mansfield, who could have gone into there and replaced Watson or Prattley, is Lapsley. You know, and we're looking to sell him anyway. I think we did look light across the middle, but to be honest, that's something Boya should have spotted. You know, if he saw how much space, and I said at the beginning that they made the valley look very big. When you watch the game, you see almost acres of space appear, and you're thinking there's so much, because they pushed us up so much, there were big gaps which, you know, a clever person could sort of like get themselves into, get the ball into, but we didn't, because it was just an unbalanced four. I think if Boya had, you know, I think this comes down to him as well, I think if he looked at it and gone, you know, because I thought Smith did quite well, you know, he was putting himself around but was just too far away from Washington, say to Smith, right, you drop back, I want a tight five, and get Morgan and Gilby and Jake closer to each other. And now it would have probably stopped that stranglehold, but we didn't. We were still trying to play it, and it was just coming back too fast because it wasn't sticking off Washington. I think when he did get it, you know, a couple of times it's come back. He's looking to pass back because there was just no one overlapping. And like I said, they were, you know, when Marston did try and bomb on, you know, his final ball wasn't particularly great. And then he's caught out of position and he's quick, but not that quick. So, yeah, no, it was. I think it was just a wrong balance. But I think Bowyer could have looked at that and gone, you know what, go to the five and then just try and strangle midfield for a bit just to stop them getting the success they were getting.
Yeah, it didn't work out that way, unfortunately, of course. I mean, before we hear from Bo, a couple of positives to take. I thought Liam Miller, for his debut, was very good. Well, lively, certainly in the opening exchanges, Tom. And then obviously seeing Ronnie Schwartz coming on late on. You know, I think we only really saw one or two little flicks, but, you know, hoping that these players could be the ones to come in and turn our season around now.
Yeah, you could see straight away what Miller gave us. I think he got the ball in the first couple of minutes and took a couple of people on and got down to the byline. I thought his passing was slightly off, but, you know, we'll let him off that because he's not played a huge amount of football. But he's got pace. He knows where the goal is and that's where he's aiming towards at all times. He obviously had that shot from the edge of the box. He's very direct. And yeah, obviously, it sounds like Alfie's out the door, so he's going to be a ready-made replacement for that role. My only slight concern is that when Alfie was in the team, we had a tendency to just give it to him and expect him to do everything. And we were very one-dimensional in that respect. I hope that doesn't happen with Miller and that we utilise the rest of that midfield because, again, perhaps defensively, they're not brilliant, but Forster Caskey can pick a pass as... Mark said, Albie Morgan loves a pass. Johnny Williams and Madison, if we see Madison again, are both very direct players. So Shinny has looked good since coming in. There's a lot of good players in that midfield. So I hope we don't just rely on Miller. And yeah, Ronnie, I don't think we can actually kind of say too much about his performance. But I think just getting him on pitch and getting some minutes in him is important. And if we can do the same again towards the end of the game Tuesday night, that'd be good. And maybe look to start him in the next week or two because I think... You know, we're all pinning our hopes on him getting us some goals and firing us back up the league. As Mark says, we haven't dropped off too far, luckily, because the league is pretty dreadful this season. But, yeah, I think it's exciting to have players through the door, definitely. And you've got to try and find positives like that after a result like that.
Right, well, let's have a listen to what Lee Bowyer came and said to the press after the game. Obviously, he did his Valley Pass interview before he came to speak to us, and unfortunately, I haven't got a copy of that, but we'll talk a little bit about something he said in that as well. But first of all, let's listen to what he said to me when I asked him after the game how he felt about the performance.
Really disappointed. Let's leave it at that. I'm disappointed.
Well, what did you make of the game overall? Do you think Accrington were deserving of the win? You know, what about the defending for the goals as well? I guess that might have been quite frustrating for you.
Yeah, I thought they deserved to win. I think from start to finish, they looked hungrier. They had more fight. And I've just said to the players, it's probably the calmest I've ever been after a defeat, ever. And it's because you can't defend what just happened. I can't defend it. It's not like my team. My team, you fight for everything. And then at least if you come off, then you say, do you know what? I've given everything. There's too many. Too many last week, too many this week. I think they can just turn up and it will give you 3 points. We got out battled. We was too soft. First goal, like it's laughable. It's laughable. It's like going to watch Sunday League football, that goal. What, the goalkeeper catches the ball and then just punts it. Like there's no, punts it up there. And then you have a mix up and come on, meant to be professional footballers. That can't be happening. So you've got to take pride, like two experienced players, your captain and the goalkeeper. That's a poor goal. And then the second one as well. Yeah, at times we move the ball well. We had to move it well because we don't have that physicality until we bring chucks on. So we had to be brave and try and play out at times, probably overplay at times. But when we did do it, then we looked dangerous. we looked dangerous, but again, in front of goal, half chances, if you like, they threw their body in the line and blocked shots to keep them away, some good saves. But yeah, just not good enough. It's just not good enough. It's not acceptable. And to play for this football club, we think that it's acceptable to jump out of tackles, literally jump out of the way. Again, that's two players now, like that's it. To play for this club, you should be proud and fight for your shirt. There's too many that think that they can just turn up and it's okay. Oh, I've got another one Tuesday because we've got injuries. And we're short in midfield. And I don't know. Maybe people think, well, I have to play because there's no one else. So then they think that they can just take it easy. I don't know. I can't put my finger on it. But that's what I've just witnessed there is not what I expect from any of my team. So yeah, disappointed is I'm being very, very polite now.
Obviously, with the run that Tottenham are in now, there's a real danger that the side could really get sort of stuck into a rut. The game on Tuesday comes quickly. I mean, what do you think you can do between now and then to get the reaction that obviously you're going to be demanding from them?
Sometimes, Louis, it's not about what I do. And I said to the players, like, you have to look at yourselves at times. Do you accept what you've just done there on the pitch? Do you accept it as a professional footballer? I said, like, look, some of them, it's their career. Some of them are coming out to their last year in their contract. Some of them are playing for contracts, whether it's with this club or a different club. Like, they're on Sky Telly. Like, they're the days that you express. Not go the other way. And when I say you've got to be brave and you've got to fight and compete, that also means to be brave and getting on the ball, not just hiding. Get on the ball, make something happen for your team. Not just a physical side. So, yeah, there's not... What will I do? I will speak to them. I will speak to them as individuals. But as starting 11, there's not really much you can do. The midfield is the midfield. That's the three midfielders that are fit and eligible to play today and Tuesday. There'll be no different. Johnny Williams came on. Was he any better than any others? No. You brought Maddison on, like midfielders. You bring your midfielders on, you think, come on, now give us that bit, that last 20 minutes, like last 30 minutes. Chucks did. Chucks made a difference when he came on for us. But the other two didn't. The other two didn't. If anything, it made us weaker. And I have to take the blame for that. I brought on subs to try and make us better, and it made us weaker. But then that's players that have to look at themselves as well. Have I given enough? Could I have given more? And if any of them walk off that pitch and say, yeah, I could have, no, I gave everything, then they're liars. So at the end of the day, I can do so much, but sometimes it comes within. And you have to, if you accept that that's good enough, then you're in the wrong game. And you're definitely at the wrong club because you have to fight when you play for this club.
Just one more from me, because I know there's others on who want to ask questions as well. But the two newbies today, Liam, looked quite lively. Obviously, we only saw Ronnie late on, but what did you make of those two?
Yeah, Liam, I think he done exactly what I expected him to do. Good, gets us up the pitch. A bit like Alfie Daddy, really. Do you know, like, gets you from back to front quite quickly, moves with the ball well. Again, the bits that I need him to improve on, that he will improve on, is that final finish. So today he skipped inside a couple of times, and the finish, if the finish is better, he scores. He scores today, at least once. But I knew that was something we'd have to work on, but we just haven't had time yet. He's been with us for 2 days, two sessions. So, but that's something that we'll pick up on Monday. I'll work with him on that on Monday, for sure. Because if we can get that right, then he will score goals for us because he gets into that position like Alfie does, really regular. And Ronnie, I just thought, put him on 15 minutes. If he gets a chance, he's going to score. Unfortunately, he didn't get a chance. good for him to get a feel for the place, the stadium, and the players. But you did see little bits of him like dropping into holes. His layoff, his link-up play is very good. And all I can say is, trust me, his finishing is very good. So when he does get a chance, then you'll see that. It was good to see them both out there today. I think that was probably the only plus out of this evening.
Just in terms of the transfer window, obviously this would be an opportunity to perhaps shake things up in a normal season, wouldn't it? But with the cap as it is, would you be looking to shake it up if you could do, Lee, off the back of what you've seen up to now?
If I could, I would, Rich, because there's too many that are in that comfort zone. So yeah, if I could shake it up, I would. But it's difficult. It's so difficult. Like, we've done well to get Ronnie through the door, that like over the over 21 players. So yeah, it's going to be hard unless we move people out. But even that, it's not that easy. We could move a player out just on, I don't know, just say £100 a week, say. But then that doesn't mean to say that you can then replace him with a player for £100 a week. It might only have £30 left of that £100 a week left that you can use. You know, it's so complicated. And we're always thinking and trying, oh, what about this player? What about this player? Like, it's so hard. Trust me, we're trying our hardest to try and close that gap between us and the other squads. And it's hard. It's hard. This cap is making it so difficult. It's not the owner. Like, he wants to go on in. Like, come on, let's get stronger. I'll back you. But the only ones that we might be able to do it is under 21 players, and we know that they're hit and miss. They're not going to come and help us get promoted today. There'll be players that we bring in for the future of the football club. You know. So yeah, this window is going to be hard. It's going to be really difficult.
Omar Bogle wasn't involved tonight. Was that just a selection thing or anything else?
Yeah, because he wasn't good enough last game.
Okay.
So, wasn't good enough. I've spoken to Omar. So, he knows the reasons. He missed out of the squad today. Sometimes people have to miss out, and today Omar's missed out.
And just finally, on Alfie Doughty, no update. Fans will maybe wonder if there is any update with his situation.
All I can say is that there's three championship sides that we've agreed terms with. I expect Alfie will speak to all three of them. I think he should. Don't just make a rash decision. I think he should speak to all three. He's been really good, Alfie. Been knocking on the door, like, obviously cares about the club, but this is football, Rich. Like, these are things that you can't control. So I expect him to be gone in the near future. I don't know how soon, but I think it's now just down to the three clubs and Alfie and his family and his agent getting together and meeting and chatting and see which one he prefers. So it might take a little bit of time, that, but I expect him to be going, yeah.
So it seemed like frequently this season the team has gotten better in the second half of games, but that obviously didn't happen today. Is that another worrying sign?
Say that again, sorry?
He said it seems that the team tends to get better in the second half of games. He said he didn't feel that was the case today and just asked if that's a worrying sign.
Yeah, of course it's worrying because normally our subs make an impact. And taking, obviously, Chucks, I thought he improved us when he came on at half time. But I think other subs made us weaker. So yeah, I agree with you. I can't defend it. Like, I think we all witnessed it. You all see it. How can I defend the impossible? All players on that made us weaker. So, yeah, we didn't finish as strong as what we normally would. I've got to take Ronnie out of that, of course, because he was only on for a short period and the game was gone by then because, obviously, two goals we give away. But I think we did see some glimpses of Ronnie, what he will bring when he is fully fit.
And then just lastly, you've been fairly critical of some of your players publicly. I mean, I think it deserved today was completely not good enough. But are you concerned that the message isn't quite getting to them? Because it doesn't seem like things are fully improving.
Well, no, I think they get the message. Might be a confidence thing for some of them. But they have to realise that they've got this opportunity. They're playing... They've got a job that they love, and you can't let it go. This career, it flies by. And that's what I just reminded them there. Like, this career you have, you're lucky, and you should enjoy every moment of it. Don't waste any of it. And that's what hurts me, is that there's too many at the moment that just think that it's okay to not be very good. So that hurts me.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
He swings it towards the far post. Innes jumps, heads down. Bogle touchdown. Brett! Hey! Smacks it in! And Charlton take the lead. That's a really well-worked corner. Innes with the head down. Bogle touches it. And Darren Prattley, the substitute, just smacks it into the roof of the net. Just say to Rob, leave them behind. A little boy, this fella who said I hate people. Charlton Live.
Right, welcome back to Charlton Live on your Sunday evening there. Just for the break, we heard Lee Bowyer's post-match reaction to the game against Accrington Stanley on Friday night. You could hear his frustration. I thought it was interesting when I asked him what he can do between now and Tuesday. And he effectively said, well, what can I do? Sometimes there's not much I can do. It's down to what the players are going to do for him. So clearly, frustration from him there. And also, I mean, the quote from the Valley Pass interview with Mark McAdam, of course, was standing in for Scott Minto, and just asked how Marcus Madison was. Of course, Madison came on sort of late on. I think he put in one cross that caused a bit of chaos, and then he went down injured towards the end. And then Bowyer was asked if Madison is seriously injured, and he said, I don't know and I don't care. You've got a player who is jumping out of tackles then, and then he says he's got a knock before that. If you do that again, then you're done. So clearly frustration. I mean, I was shocked to see him say, you know, I don't care about a player's injury. I mean, you can imagine the context of it. You know, frustration is very soon after the full-time whistle that Bowyer has to go and speak to Valley Pass. So he's still riled up. But, I mean, he certainly reacted with high levels of frustration after the game, Mark. And I guess you could see why. I mean, sure, that's got to be a sign of the fact that he's feeling a bit of the pinch now and pressure and, you know, annoyance at how things have gone over the last few weeks.
Well, I think it obviously was frustration with that comment and mixed with sort of like anger and annoyance, because he sees them training in a week and he sees them doing what he wants them to do. He obviously gets them drilled into playing a certain way, into certain formations. And then he sees them go out and not do it. And you can, you know, you're thinking, that's just obviously going to be so frustrating because he knows they can do it. He knows they can get into positions and know they can pass the ball well. And then it doesn't happen. It's a strange one with Maddison because I think I'm not sure how many appearances he's got for us this season since he's come in. Not many. Two goals, I think. But he's divided the fans. I say, I know Nathan always says, you know, stays off, and Benji always say they stay off social media straight away after a game because you just get such knee-jerk reactions. And I think that's what Bowyer's was. It was a knee-jerk reaction. But, you know, you get some people who think the sun shines out of Maddison's tattoos, and some people thinking, you know, he's just a glory boy who's only in it for himself. And so, you know, if Bowyer says that he doesn't care, you know, half of fans are going to go, yep, don't care either. And half of fans are going to go, oh, that's terrible. He's the new Messiah. I don't think he's the Messiah. I just think he's a very naughty boy. It's difficult. I think if you have a touch more time, I know, obviously, media commitments come along. But I think if you have a touch more time to look at it, and someone asks him that question again, he's going to say, we don't know, it's too early to have a scan. But I think with him, it's for frustration, because it's not that long ago where he called out Johnny Williams, he said, because he pulled out of a tackle. And everyone went, oh, you can't do that. And thinking, well, Bowyer's the manager. He can pretty much do, you know, say what he likes to a degree, because he wants them to work, do certain things. So if he, in his mind, Maddison's jumped out of a tackle, I don't know whether he jumped out of a tackle or jumped over a tackle. And, you know, you did see him say that he'd been clipped. And then when his ankle did turn in the divot in the valley, it's not one you could run off. So, you know, I just hope it's not a bad ankle damage and it is, could just be bruising. So yeah, I don't know. I mean, I just think...
I mean, when you see the reaction, Tom, from Lee Bowyer like that, how do you feel about that? I mean, obviously, as Mark mentioned there, we've seen it from Bo after the game against Shrewsbury with regards to Johnny Williams. Obviously, he's called out players before. You know, that certainly is part of his style. I mean, some will say, will that affect the morale in the camp? Will players, how will they react to being called out in public like that? But at the same time, you know, Bo will be thinking, well, I've asked them to do something and they haven't done it. It's a tough one. I don't know how you analyse it really, Tom.
Yeah, when I read it that night, and I had had a couple of beers, and I was annoyed at the result, but I found it really funny. I partly found it funny because, and I think I said this in a tweet as well, that not that particular comment he made, but another one about players jumping out of tackles and stuff, I largely agreed with. And I said it wasn't the reason we lost the game, but he's calling out what he sees, and that's fair enough. I think to come out and say he doesn't care, and I'm sure he didn't mean that, is unprofessional at best. I think he does need more time before coming out. And it's, as a fan, it's refreshing to see a manager being so honest. But I think that sort of behaviour does potentially danger the harmony in the camp. And look, he has called out players before and we've seen them react. Omar Bogle obviously did get a goal. I know he's sort of dropped off again now, but he did. Johnny Williams came in, got a goal. So he could quite happily stand by that and say, well, look, it's worked. But I said it to you and Afe on the Saturday morning. I just wonder whether, and I don't want to just say it's a generational thing, but whether younger players now really react in the same way, you know. Bowyer, I think in his interview for Sky, said, you know, it might have been in the Valley Pass one. If I had a bad game, I wanted players, you know, pulling me up on it and telling me. And I would do the same for players on my team. And we know a couple of infamous incidents to that respect. But that was, what, 20, 25 years ago? That was a long time ago. And players do change now. And so I just wonder whether it's accepted now in a dressing room for players to do that, and whether you want to say that players are too soft by reacting that way, then that's fair enough. But I don't know, in the cold light of day it made me very uncomfortable to see him say that, despite the fact that I will say that Maddison comes with a reputation and it did to me look like that it went down very easy. He went down very easily, but you know, look, I'm not there. I can't speak for him. It was just how I saw it. So it goes back to that point I made in our last answer about just feeling like things are just becoming a little bit unpicked behind the scenes, you know, the behaviour like that. And he's treading a very fine line, isn't he, Boya? You know, calling people out like that. And if it works, you know, brilliant. But if it doesn't, he's in danger of losing the squad very quickly, because there's only so many players you can call out, and he's already done it to at least three or four of them. So, yeah, at the time, I found it a little bit funny. But in the cold light of day, I think it's probably unacceptable, certainly, to say that you don't care about an injury. So it'll be interesting to see what happens Tuesday night. I don't know if we've heard anything about Maddison's injury yet, but certainly next time he is available to play, be very interesting to see what Boya does.
We didn't hear too much more about Maddison's injury other than at the moment the manager wasn't too pleased with his performance. Let's have a look at some of the correspondence that's come in then over the last few days since that 2-0 defeat at home against Accrington. Lawrence said, I need to start writing now. And again, that was during the second half. We started to get more and more messages during games now. People are getting so frustrated, and you can understand why. Lonely Man in Pants says, any chance you can skip straight to the next big match preview and forget the cringeworthy, awful, fectulent crap at the Valley tonight? Yeah, I wish we could, unfortunately. Mitch says, on the plus side, I didn't have to pay a tenner for the stream. On the negative side, absolutely everything else. Plus, the wife knows I'm football free now, so I'll be football free now all weekend. So it's chores and repairs for me. Chores for Cheltenham. Unlucky, Mitch. Sorry to hear that. Redmond says, I can't listen to Sunday's show. I don't want to recap that performance. We need a massive kick at the backside. New ideas or something. Liam says, a disgraceful performance, completely outplayed. However, Boya has stuck with us through tough times when he didn't have to. Fans owe it to him to allow him the time to get it right. And obviously that is a big conversation point now amongst some supporters. Mark, I think people are sort of falling on either side of a conversation now as to whether, you know, whether... I don't know if... I mean, there's certainly a few during a game who might be calling for the manager's head, certainly. But and obviously, there's others on the other side who want to see him given more time. My only theory on this is, I mean, don't forget, I mean, if we could agree at the start of the season that we were under all these embargoes and things were difficult, and then it was accepted that, you know, we rushed together a squad, players who, you know, probably need a bit more time, and we knew the constraints of the cap. Well, none of that's changed. You know, obviously they've had a few more, you know, a couple of months now together to try and perform better, and obviously I think they should be. But at the same time, those injuries are there. We were a team that was built upon our defence, which we unfortunately lost a couple of key players there. And also we are going now into this this transfer window where we've brought a couple in. Hopefully CF Boya and Steve Gannon and whatnot will be able to move things around and bring a couple more in. But, you know, we do still work within the constraints that we started off the season with in terms of the wage cap and putting together a team at the last minute. So, in that case, nothing really has changed. So, does that not mean that surely we have to give the manager more time to work within a transfer window where he's got a little bit of room to manoeuvre?
Oh, I totally think so. But I think, as a football fan, your expectations change almost weekly. Because you see them win, and you're thinking, "Oh wow, look at us! We're 70s Brazil. We're fantastic. You know, we're 90s Barcelona. We're great." And then the next week you lose, and you're going, "Oh my God, we're Welling." You know, and it's hard sometimes to say. I mean, if you look at where it is at the start of the season before Thomas came in, and we knew he was going to come in, we were under such handcuff restraints. We honestly didn't think. I mean, all the summer shows we did. We didn't think we'd almost start off the season. A, we would start the season anyway, but B, with 11 players, or it'd only be the kids. And then, you know, we did well. We, you know, we picked up, like, we had all the clean sheets. We won games. It gave us a good foundation. And of course, then your expectations then go, oh, look at what we're doing now. If we carry this on, we can, you know, we can be champions. We can go up, blah, blah, blah. And then it's how you deal when you get sort of like the knockbacks. Yes, it's a bad run at the moment. But in a context of, you know, if you ask probably any fan in August or when did the season start? Was it August? Yeah. You know, where do you think we're going to finish with the team we have now most fans, I think, would have gone, you know, if we finish mid-table, we'll be lucky. And you think, so we're seventh at the moment. We've got potentially, you know, players to come back from injury to make us stronger. If they pick up maybe another signing, we let another one go. I think, you know, like I say, because your perspectives change almost on a weekly basis. Yes, it's doom and gloom. We've lost a few on a bounce and we can't see where it's going to come from. But, you know, we were 2-1 down at Wimbledon and no one, I don't think, looked at that, would have thought that would have come out and won 5-2, you know, and looked terrific in that second half. So I think your expectations have to be limited. I just don't understand straight away. Call for his head. I mean, and I heard like Paul Cook's the name which keeps coming up. And I'm thinking, if he comes in, it's not like he's going to suddenly bring in a load of new players because, you know, he's going to have his own people maybe, but, you know, he won't have the time with what's left of a window. So we're going to see out this season with the players we have here anyway. And then, you know, you say, well, hold on a minute, how long does he get a clean slate for? Next season we don't do well. I think Boyer will get there. And I've got faith with him until it's proven that we actually can't do anything more with him. We can't develop him more than a manager. He can't develop us more than a team. I think signing a Schwartz might actually help us. And I know he said he touched the ball a couple of times, but what was noticeable about his movement off the ball was the way he was talking to the players around him. And I think, so, you know, if we can get some service to him, maybe sort of like Williams on one side and Miller on the other, and, you know, I think there's potential then. I think it'll take one or two wins and everyone's going to be going, oh, you know, we were so silly. We were talking about getting rid of him. I mean, God, what's the worst thing happens? Joey Barton turns up. Is that what you want?
I'm hoping it's not quite the binary choice of Boyer or Barton, but we'll see. I mean, that's a quite, get those two together in a sort of managerial duo, that'd be quite interesting, right? Craig said the dust has settled and I've been moaning about performances for a couple of months. I agree with Boyer, every player is playing below their own level. This is a management problem. I'm not a bows out person, but this is his test. The only person resolving it is the manager. Michael says the performance of the entire team on Friday was poor. Accrington played as a team. We did not. The management team need to regroup and come up with something new, as repeating the same thing week after week and expecting a different result is not working. Excuse me. Daniel says, I think there's a lot of uncertainty within the squad, which is flowing through to the performances on the pitch. We're missing Innes and Famo at the back. Hopefully Ronnie Rocket starts as firing. Alex says the defending was hard to watch. Pierce struggled. Martson kept giving the ball away. Absolutely no fight. The thing is, we had some good chances. Forster-Kaski and Miller were class. And Smith was absolutely quality too, in my opinion. He never stopped going. Cheers for Alex. Dave said he was glad he missed it, to be honest. It could have been fogged though, Dave. Peter Lee says two defensive errors resulted in two goals. Pre-Christmas run was built on keeping a clean sheet. 4-3-3 versus 3-5-2 meant always struggling to pick up the second ball or have any control. Bowes has had so many players, he's still trying to get the right balance. Confidence will improve. Yeah, it's interesting actually. The Sky put out that stat before the game, Tom. I think Charlton have made more changes than anyone else in League One, and obviously Accrington, I think, had made the fewest. So, I mean, you know, we understand part of the reasoning why Bo makes these changes. You know, we've been burnt a bit in the past with players getting overtired and fatigue setting in and injuries kicking in. We've had injury crises beforehand. I mean, surely that, you know, you have to find that right balance, don't you, between not making so many changes that you fail to find that cohesive team, but obviously trying to keep everyone as fresh as possible as well.
Yeah, and I don't think it's just that. It's the fact that we've brought in 12, 13 players this year, and it's going to take us time to figure out who the best ones are and what formation to play them in. So I think it's twofold. And we, under Powell, when we brought all those players in that title-winning season, you know, it was, even at the time, we were saying this doesn't happen very often, that you bring that many players in and they just gel like that. And I think everything we've been talking about tonight, the kind of lack of coherence between them, the amount of changes we've made this season, the rushed signings, everything. I said it a couple of weeks ago on this show that I don't think Bowes knows what his best 11 is yet in terms of who starts and in what position they start. And I think that stat tells you that that's the case. He's trying to work out who the best people are. He's protecting some players, you're right, with injury. And his hand has been forced by some other injuries. So going back to your other question to Mark about the Bowyer in, Bowyer out, I don't think Bowyer should go out by any stretch. I think he's the man at the moment. But at the same time, we don't owe him anything. And if results continue like this, I feel like that question can be asked. But I feel at the moment he deserves an opportunity to try and work out who his best 11 are. And I agree it's frustrating because as every week goes past, you feel like we should be getting there. But he's trying different stuff every week. And until that clicks, I think, you know, we are going to have to accept the odd bad result. I think what's frustrating at the moment is there are so many of them, or certainly there has been a run of them. But it's the nature of what we've had to do this season. You know, recruit late, recruit large numbers. It's going to take a while to find it. So, yeah, I think he deserves a little bit of leeway to that respect. But at the same time, at some point, he is going to have to start making decisions and sticking with it and just letting it play out and see what happens. Until I haven't really seen that yet. You know, like Bogle, he gave him a few games. He's now brought him back out. You know, Prattley at the back, he played him for a few games, then got sent off, so his hand got forced. It's about trying to just, at some point, just stick with it and hope that things change. And if then they don't, as Mark says, then it sits with the manager. And at that point, maybe you start asking the question about him.
Excellent stuff. Right, a couple more tweets before we go to another break. Rob says, we were disjointed over running midfield again. I don't usually call players out, but there were too many weak performances. Gilby was on a stroll. We look very weak in central midfield. That's a key concern for me. We need to win more ball there and get more challenges in. Too easy to walk through us. Addicts and DSNN says, I enjoyed Liam Miller's debut for us. Nothing else was worth talking about, though. I've mentally already moved on to Rochdale. Right, we're going to have a quick break, and then we've still got some more emails to come to in a few moments' time.
Shinny prepares to take. Shinny takes. It's a shot! Oh,
great free kick! Oh,
the power was too strong for Eastwood. He dived to his left, but it's passed him. And Shinny, who got the assist for the first goal, now opens his Charlton account with a lovely free kick. And Charlton, just before half-time, make it two. That you're going to be okay anyway.
You know there's no rest or reason. Charlton Live.
Right, welcome back to Charlton Live. Trying to get through all of your messages. Once again, plenty have come in, so don't be too offended if we don't read your ones out. But thanks to everyone who has sent a message in. You can either tweet us at Charlton Live or email us studio@charltonlive.co.uk to have your thoughts read out on the show. That's what Steve Richards did. Says that Stanley put the knife in. First things first, Accrington put in a great performance and were excellent. They have one of the smallest squads and tightest budgets, but played like a team, cohesive, determined and well drilled. Charlton were lacking in drive, leadership, guile and cutting edge. They played like strangers. The defenders were all woeful. The starting midfielders were out fought and out past. Washington and Miller looked bright, but both got subbed off whilst Gilby played the full match. Can already hear Bo saying it's not good enough, but he needs to stop the slide sharpish or promotion hopes will disappear fast. And Madison's injury capped off a shocking night. Certainly did. Steve, cheers for your email. Robert says, hi all. Only a few months ago, our beloved club were only days away from going out of business after years of neglect, both on and off the field. Bowyer's record so far stands up. He has worked with one hand, sometimes two, tied behind his back, and due to the salary cap, among all else, is doing so again. At the start of the season, the best we were hoping for was avoiding administration or relegation. The takeover allowed us to put a bunch of players together to do so, and that target should be achieved. Anything other than that is a bonus, and making the playoffs would be a tremendous achievement. Personally, I'm undecided if calling the players out in public is the right thing to do, but that is Bowyer's style, rightly or wrongly. What would we have give to have a player like him in our midfield at the moment, wearing his heart on his sleeve? Cheers for that. Robert Wright Richard says, from Charlton Exile, lots of criticism for Bowyer on social media. I can understand that, but let's not be too hasty in calling for him to be sacked. He stood by us in tough times. Now it's our turn to stand by him. I understand the criticism in his inconsistent team selection and ever-changing playing size systems. I also understand the criticism of his public slagging off of certain players, even if they deserve it. But let's pause for thought. We're all living with this pandemic. The change room atmosphere must be very different now. The team spirit there's been so much part of Charlton Athletic must have been ruptured by not being able to hang out together and partake in the dressing room banter that we hear about but few of us ever experience. Boya has made mistakes is not only as understandable but probably to be expected. Both him and Jackson are still relatively new to this. How about we all decide to stick by the management team and the playing squad? How about we show these employed at the club love and support in difficult times? If we do that, then the good times could just be round the corner. It will seem all the sweeter. Thanks to all of you at Charlton Live for your continued dedication to getting to this podcast out, and those who do the commentary on Valley Pass. Cheers for that, Richard. Thanks for your email. Right, Tom said, I don't want to go too football manager on you lads, but watching week in, week out, you can see that we're so static, especially in midfield. I actually think that Jake Forster-Caskey is doing a good job in the centre of the park, but for that to have an impact, the team needs movement and triangles around him. We have players now who can provide width and speed, but if you're not moving the ball, then we are not creating space, so the passes will continue to go sideways and backwards. There were examples in the second half where we did this and we created space on the flanks, though Martson overlapping, but it's not enough. There needs to be a constant fluidity about the game. Oh, is that fair, Mark? Do you think, you know, we don't perhaps move the ball quick enough, movement off the ball?
It's hard. You need the personnel. Like I said to you earlier, we've got good passers of a ball. You've just got to have the right person on the end of it and the right decision. I think, you know, I'm not Watson's biggest fan. I'm truly not. And I like Prattley when he's in the middle because I think he gives us some steel and can sit in front of the four and defend them a bit more. And I just think, you know, Gilby, you know, is almost like a luxury player. Shinny, I like. I think it's, again, if you've got the right personnel, it's fine, or the right balance. You know, do you have an enforcer, you have an artist, and you go with two wingers. I think Gilby's not a winger, Morgan's not a winger, Jake's not a winger. So playing three almost central midfielders and one winger is just going to give you such a lopsided feel to it. It's a hard one. I mean, it's what you'd say is that you could get 100 Charlton fans and you'd probably find 5% would have the same team, because we're all going to have our own opinions on who we'd like to see and who would, you know, obviously Tom will go for the entire Welsh 11, but you know, we're not going to sort of like all agree on the same thing. And
go on, Mark.
No, so I was going to say, because also the little things, was like, you never know. I mean, I remember I spoke to Paul Mortimer a couple of years ago. I had a nice chat with him, and he said, you never know what players are carrying injury-wise. He goes, you see them go out. He said, but a player very rarely is at 100%. He said, sometimes 90, sometimes 80. So they're still playing. He said, so you never know who's carrying what knocks and whatever. You know, and we've got to remember, Accrington just had 3 weeks off. Okay, you know, I'm not giving that an excuse because I still say they deserve to beat us. But, you know, we don't know how many of that team we've got out there at the moment who aren't running on four cylinders. And I think sometimes it does show. So, personally, like I say, I think if I'll get someone like Prattley back into that midfield and puts a bit of steel in there, we're not so much an easy pushover. So.
Yeah, excellent. And that point you made about, you know, not knowing what our strongest 11 is obviously one that Tom has made this evening as well. It's something that is probably fair. You know, it makes it difficult because we are such an unsettled side at times as well. Right, Craig said, hey gang, that display was awful. No guts, no desire. First half we looked okay with Miller looking a great bit of business. Second half a bunch of strangers who've never played together before. I don't think Lee should dig out players like that. Maybe Jacko should do the press brief. Hopefully the lads turn up on Tuesday, or I fear it may be a longer stay in League One. Steve says, yeah, Rory, really worrying times. I'm desperate for Bowes to stay, but it's feeling more unlikely now with the results and fans starting to turn against him. Has he lost the dressing room? Are they trying? Because they used to run through brick walls for him. What is clear is that we have an injury problem in defence, but what is even more clear is that you need legs, energy and desire in your team to succeed in this league, and we don't have that, especially in the midfield, who were pathetic on Friday. We need at least two high-energy midfielders, but it's so tough to make changes with the wage cap and COVID. He says, bring back Lapo, anybody. I'd rather just accept mid-table this season, stick with Bowes, and completely start again next season with a new young squad built for the future. That's from Steve. Right, cheers, Steve. Right, we're going to have a quick break, and then when we come back, we'll look ahead to Tuesday's game with Rochdale at the Valley.
Chip ball to Pennington, Martin gets it, does ball across goal, Williams! Johnny Williams scores his first Charlton goal! It's a brilliant well-worked move from Charles Foss, the ball to the far post of Martin, who did extremely well to get on the end of it. Ball across goal, and there's Williams to score. A man who's in goal-scoring form at the moment. One for Wales last month, his first for Charlton this month. What a moment.
Charlton Live.
Right, welcome back to Charlton Live. We've just been reading some of your tweets and emails. Once again, sorry if we didn't get to your message because we've had so many, as you can imagine, at the moment. So we can't get to all of them. But thanks for everyone who sent a message into the show. We really appreciate you guys getting involved with us. But I mean, just because we're coming to the end, really, in terms of time, Tom, I just want to have a brief look ahead to Rochdale. I was getting all cocky yesterday when they went 3-0 down at home to Crewe. Inside about half an hour, but then Rochdale came back and actually got a 3-3 draw, so they're going to be on cloud nine after that. Not in the greatest run of form though. I think they've only won twice in about 10, same as us, so similar form to us actually when you look at it. Like, I keep forgetting we're rubbish at the moment, but yeah, it's a massive game for us. I mean, Rochdale are obviously inside the bottom four. You know, we really need to start sending a statement that we're still in this race for the top six.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's must win just yet, but it's a huge game. And they obviously prior to that had a couple of weeks off as well, and have come back and as you say, come back and scored three goals. I think there's been a couple of times where they've put four or five past teams as well, so they know where the goal is. So, yeah, they're down towards the bottom of the table, but we've seen plenty of times this season that doesn't mean a huge amount, particularly against us. You'd imagine they're going to come, they're going to sit deep, they're going to be hard to break down, and we're going to have to find a way. And as I say, we've got a lot of creativity in that midfield, and it's about using them and not just relying on one or two players. So, yeah, as I say, not must win yet, but it's certainly a huge one. And if we can get a win and just, you know, shut all this noise about the run and the disjointed nature of everything and all of that sort of aspect of not just social media, but stuff we've spoken about, stuff people are emailing about. You know, it's there for a reason. And it's, I think a lot of it, or certainly a large portion of it, I agree with. But if we can get a win and just quieten all that noise down, then it could make a huge, huge difference. And as I said earlier in the show, it's just about getting that first win. It doesn't have to be pretty at all. We've just got to get it over the line. And I think when we do, people will start to relax. The players will start to relax. And we can start to get back to the side that I think we're capable of being. So, yeah, big, big game on Tuesday night. I'm looking forward to it. But, yeah, I don't know if I will be come kickoff.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, one of the things that Bo has mentioned since the end of the game on Friday is obviously there isn't a great deal of options in the midfield at the moment, Mark. So, you know, I'm looking around that team and trying to work out where he might be willing to make changes. I mean, I imagine Miller, hopefully you'd hope, you know, would have enough in his legs to go again. You know, I wonder if there's time for Ronnie Schwartz to come on a bit earlier. I wonder if Chooks and Ike might start, although we have this conversation every game. I don't know really where the changes are. Again, even in the defence, there's not a great deal of room for manoeuvre, certainly in the centre-back, because you've got to take into account we've got Darren Pratley out suspended and obviously Ryan and Atkins still some way from fitness.
Yeah, I think the options, possibly, he might drop Gilby and put Johnny Williams in, which might balance us up on the wings if we've got him on one side and Miller on the other. And just tell Jake and Albie just to stick closer together. That might do it. Whether he can bring Matthews in and go five at the back and go sort of like Gunter, Deji and Pierce and go that way, or the other side, bring Purinton in and move Mattson forward a touch. up front is a turkey shoot. I don't know. Obviously, they're saying Ronnie's not fit yet. You know, they want to give him some minutes to run around. I don't think he's going to, you know, start Chucks. I think he'll probably... I wouldn't be surprised if he brought Bogle back into the frame on Tuesday and started with him and Washington up front, or possibly Smith and Bogle, and put Washington on the bench. It's difficult because it's how many people suddenly, you know, from Friday to Tuesday, a couple of days relaxing. I mean, that's probably what they didn't say about Madison, because you normally need a couple of days for bruising to go down before they know what's going to happen anyway. But, you know, if he's not on the bench, I think you do have options, as it were. And like I said, I wouldn't be surprised if Matthews came in. So not that Gunter's done particularly badly, but I don't think, you know, possibly he could do a job in midfield, though. You know, he's, I remember, you know, we played Solivair a few times and, you know, he can pass a ball and he's solid. So, you know, you've got options across the back, not many, but, you know, you do have them. So it'll be a head scratcher for Boya.
Yeah, I think I can imagine the stick though. If he brings on another defender to play in midfield again, it'll be a player out of position, which I'm sure ideally he'd try not to. But anyway, and also again, I'd be surprised if Bogle comes in after what Bo said. But yeah, hey, who knows? Who knows what's going to happen? Plenty of surprises we've seen already this season. Right, we've run out of time. In fact, we've gone over time on this week's Charlton Live. Thanks to all of you who've listened to the end. Thanks as well to everyone who sent in a message to this evening's show. Thanks to Mark and to Tom for joining me on the pod.
You're welcome. Cheers, keep mate. The faith.
Yeah, trying to. Right, cheers, guys. So I've been Louis Meadows. Thanks for listening. We'll be back on Thursday to look back at whatever happens against Rochdale and ahead to next Saturday's game at Bristol Rovers, I think it is. Look forward to speaking to you again then. But for now, we will say goodbye.
Up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.